You know, I was sitting in this building early this morning. It's about, I don't know, between 7 and 8, and I always listen to our last song over and over again just to prepare my heart. And I always use earbuds. And all of a sudden, there's this racket that was louder than any music I ever played in my ear. And I looked outside, and I thought we were just going to float away. It was a horrible storm, but God protected us. I noticed that some of you swam in today, or some of you brought your ark today, but we're glad that it's kind of subsided. There is supposed to be a little bit of wind this afternoon, but anyway, so to God be the glory. Thanks so much for being here today. It's always special when we gather as family. You know, we've been talking about the fact that we're God's masterpiece. And we've also stressed the fact that we are all a work in progress. So in other words, let me say it this way. We're valuable to God. We're so valuable to God. And he wants to mold us and make us into his purposes. He didn't make any mistakes. And I know that sometimes we've heard that in the back of our mind, the enemy taunting us that God made a mistake when he made you. God didn't make a mistake when he made you. He's called you to be a masterpiece in his army. First, we talked about the fact that we are created in Christ, and our identity is not in the world, it's not in the culture, it's in Jesus. And then we talked about the fact that we're created to do good works. Jesus went around doing good, and so should we. Today we're going to talk about another component, and it is we're created to grow. Now, one of the things that we expect in life is that we would grow. When our kids were young, we would mark their height on a door frame. Maybe you've done that too, so we could document their growing. It was always an exciting time for us, and it was an exciting time for them. They loved seeing their progress, and we loved seeing their progress. Documenting how much they grow, it was important to us. There were times in which there were small increases and times that there were large increases, but every time we marked them, they had grown, and it was a celebration. At one point, we did a little bit of renovation on our house, so we changed out some of the doors. I took the door stop or the piece of door molding that we had marked, and I put it in my workshop. In fact, I meant to bring it today. It's about this tall, but it's very thin, but it's got the growth rates of our four boys. And to me, I could never get rid of that. Will I ever use it again? No. Probably missed my chance to use it as a sermon illustration, didn't I? But one of the common misconceptions in the Christian world is that once we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we have arrived at full maturity. Not so. In fact, far from it, I would say. In order for us to become all that Jesus has planned for us, we must grow. We can't stay a baby. We start there, but we can't stay a baby. 1 Peter 2:2 reminds us, like newborn babies, you should long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may be nurtured and grow in respect to salvation, the ultimate fulfillment. Now, you can't stay there. In fact, Susan reminded me the other day, I think it was yesterday, that our little Louie, who is still yet to be saved, by the way, somebody asked me that not long ago. He's still not saved. We're working on him. But he is soon to be out of the baby food. He is growing up. And I asked Susan, well, why don't we just buy a big bag of it and it'll carry us through and whatever. She says, no, he needs something more. So he's going to graduate to the next level of food. And does he know to do that? No, he doesn't. But we, as his caretakers, know to do that. And God does the same thing. He knows what we need when we need it. He knows when we need to step up our game and grow. And we are to take his lead in this. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow spiritually mature in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, honor, majesty, and splendor, both now and to the day of eternity. Paul writes this to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives expressing his truth, let us grow up in the things into him, following his example, who is the head, Christ. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, we see starting in verse 11, concerning this, we have much to say. It is hard to explain since you have become dull and sluggish in your spiritual hearing and disinclined to listen. In other words, you're still looking for the baby stuff. For though by this time you ought to be teachers because of the time you have had to learn these truths, but you actually need someone to teach you again the elementary principles of God's word from the beginning. And you have come to be continually in need of milk and not solid food. God gets tired of providing us baby food. For everyone who lives on the need of milk and everyone lives on milk is doctrinally inexperienced and unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a faithful infant. Since he's a spiritual infant. But solid food is for the spiritually mature, whose senses are trained by practice to distinguish between what is morally good and what is evil. There comes a time that we've got to get off the puppy food, and we've got to start taking in the solid stuff. Now, the puppy food is much easier to swallow. It doesn't place a real demand upon it, on the system of the dog. But the dog needs more than that. In Hebrews 6, 1 and 2 says, Let us get past the elementary stage in the teachings about Christ, advancing on to maturity and perfection and spiritual completeness, doing this without laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works or faith toward God, of teaching about the washings, the ritual purifications, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. These are all important matters in which you should have been proficient long ago. That's the stuff we should be holding on to from our early days. But we can't negate growing into the bigger things. You know, as a child, I remember wanting to ride a bicycle like the older kids in the neighborhood. I started off with a tricycle. Once I mastered that, I moved up to a small bicycle with training wheels. And before long, after a little bit of practice, my dad took off those training wheels. But that wasn't enough for me. I wanted a full-size bicycle. And finally, after much growth, much practice, I graduated to a big bicycle. You see, there was a drive in me to get to the full-size bicycle. I didn't want to stay with the baby bike. Didn't happen overnight. But I worked hard to grow into a full bicycle. Case in point, I wanted to grow. Here's a fact. If you want to grow in some area of your life, it's going to take several things. Number one, it's going to take a desire to grow. Number two, it's going to take a decision to grow. Number three, it's going to take willingness to work hard to grow. Number four, it's going to take the discipline to grow. Number five, faithfulness. You're going to need that when the going gets tough. And number six, encouraging ourselves when the progress seems slow. There were times when our kids would back up to the door frame and they would see the mark and it wasn't as much of an increase as they wanted. But we had to encourage them, listen, you grew. That's good. You're growing. That's good. One thing's for sure, growing in any area won't come automatically. Most of all the time, we have to force ourselves to grow. Now, I would say that growing spiritually is no different than any other kind of growth, but I actually think that this growth is the hardest because we have an enemy that wants us to stay a baby. Amen. You see, babies are cute, don't get me wrong, but they don't present any danger to the kingdom of darkness. But a maturing Christian can wreak havoc on the kingdom of darkness. We must desire to grow. Back in 1994, after serving the church solely as a business administrator for 5 or 6 years, my heart began to shift a bit and I began to take on more pastoral duties. One day a lady in our church asked me, "What do you attribute your sudden spiritual growth to?" I simply replied, "Well, there's been nothing at all sudden about this growth. It's been a slow, methodical, challenging, sometimes painful, growing into the things of God and the purposes of God." You've heard doctors say that when there's growth in young bodies, there's often pain. Growing pains, our parents would tell us. Growing in the things of God can be uncomfortable at times. Growing in the things of God can get encroaching at times. Growing in the things of God can even be painful. But growing in the things of God is so worth it at all times because there are eternal implications. See, when times of pain or uncomfortableness or encroaching comes, it's important to remember these things. We're promised that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. Might be uncomfortable, but Jesus is there. It's important to remember that we're promised that God is our strong tower. It's important to remember that God is our safe haven. He is a place of safety. It's important to remember that God is our caretaker. It's important to remember that God is the potter. It's important that we remember that He is the master builder. It's important that we are promised that our God is a loving Father. So what can we expect during this spiritual growth process? New habits, new priorities, new interests, new passions, new hunger, new focus, and that's just to name a few. There are new things that come as we hunger and thirst for the things of God. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to Him by faith in Him as Savior, he is a new creation, a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come because spiritual awakening brings a new life. This happens at the moment of conversion, but left alone without purposeful decisions and actions toward growing in Christ, left unattended to the automatic, the old slips back in and takes back the priority and the control. Imagine yourself as a lump of clay on a potter's wheel. There's some types of clay that are harder to mold than others. Sometimes we're easily molded. Other times we fight against the potter. Sometimes we're eager to be molded. Eager. And other times we rebel against the pressure. Sometimes we love being molded. Other times we hate it. Now here's what I found. When I am eager to be molded by the Father, the process is much easier, quicker, and life-giving. When I'm eager to be molded by God, I grow in the things of God by leaps and bounds. When I don't fight Him, He really pours out growth in our lives. But sadly to admit is that many times that's not the case with me. I fight against the molding of the potter, therefore making the process harder, longer, and maybe even exhausting. When I'm less eager to be molded by God, the process can be lengthy, painful, and uncomfortable. And here's what we need to grasp and fully believe, Romans 8:28. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, His plan and purpose. See, if we fully believe that scripture, we will be a joy to the potter. If we fully believe that scripture, we will be a threat to the enemy. If we fully believe this scripture, we'll be a willing participant on the potter's wheel as we grow. I want us to look just quickly this morning at Joseph and Jonah for a moment. Both men created by God for a purpose. Both men greatly loved by God. Both men having a great destiny in God. Both men faced with a decision to yield to God, the potter, and to grow in the things of God or not. Both men were on the potter's wheel to grow. Now, I know we don't ever want anything bad to happen to us. We want all the bad to go away. But we've got to understand that God can use those times to mold you and make you and fashion you after His will. Joseph had an assignment from God, and most of you know this story. He was horribly treated by others in life. Initially, his brothers planned to kill him, but they thought they would get maybe something in their favor. They ended up selling him into slavery instead. I'm not sure which one's worse. Then he was falsely accused of rape by his boss's wife. Then he was thrown into the worst prison for a crime he didn't commit. And then he was overlooked by those who promised to get him released early, while being treated unfairly over and over and over again for years and years by the hands of many. His responses and reactions showed he was willing to grow. At every juncture, Joseph was willing to grow. The reality was that he embraced his time on the potter's wheel. Did he know how it was going to end? No, he didn't. But he trusted God in the process. Now, and after all this craziness that Joseph went through, listen to these words to his brothers when they were reunited in Genesis 50:20. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present outcome that many people would be kept alive as they are this day. In other words, God's molding hands were all around me. This is Joseph speaking, forming me into what you see today. You meant harm, but God meant life. Then in stark comparison, Jonah faced an assignment from God too, but he ran the other way. God's forming Jonah on the potter's wheel was hard. I think it's pretty interesting. This week in Chile, there was a whale that swallowed a kayak and the guy and spit him right back out. He must have been a bad tasting thing. Jonah didn't have it that good. He had 3 days in the belly. But Jonah 1, 2, and 3 says, God says this, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim judgment against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away to Tarshish to escape the presence of the Lord and his duty as his prophet. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Jonah was on the potter's wheel, just like Joseph was. Jonah came around and he grew into the man that God desired, but only after he was swallowed by a fish, doomed to die in the most horrible fashion, faced with his rebellion against the new thing that God had for him to do. In other words, Jonah ran from God. The thought of the molding got too much for him, and he wanted to jump off the potter's wheel. A few questions. How do you respond to God's growing plan for your life? Are you a Joseph or are you a Jonah? Are you the one that wants to grow or are you the one that doesn't? Are you the one that welcomes God's growth plan no matter what's going on, or are you the one that pushes against it? Are you a willing participant in the new things that God wants to bring you, or are you reluctant or obstinate for the new things? If you want to grow in the things of God, it's going to take these six things. A desire to grow, a decision to grow, the willingness to work hard to grow, the discipline to grow, faithfulness to grow when the going gets tough, and also encouraging ourselves, stirring ourselves up to grow when the progress seems slow. And remember 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he's a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition have passed away. Behold, new things have come because spiritual awakening brings a new life. It is so worth it to grow. Now here's something practical to do. I'm a practical kind of guy, and I love practical steps. If you want to grow in the things of God, I want you to make two lists. The first list are all the things that you want to quit doing that hinder you from growing in the things of God. It might be a short list, might be a long list. Maybe it's to eliminate some unhealthy things that you feed on. Maybe it's to eliminate some unhealthy habits that you have. Maybe it's to eliminate some unhealthy patterns you have set. Whatever is holding you back from growing in the things of God, get rid of it. It is so worth it. 39 years ago, right after we got married, I quit smoking cigarettes. I knew it was unhealthy. I didn't want my kids to follow suit. And I also knew that I had to be a non-smoker for what God wanted to use me for. I had no idea what God was going to use me for, but I knew that I could not have that control my life. So I was very motivated. I wanted to please my new wife, and she was proud of me. She really was. She's still proud of me. I told her now that if I'm on my deathbed, I want a Marlboro. I don't think she'll do it, but that's what I want. Now, that's a stupid thing. I understand that. But quitting smoking is something I never thought I would be able to do because I loved every cigarette I ever smoked. I never really considered ever becoming a non-smoker. But finally, I was motivated. I was so motivated that I signed up for a course at the hospital here in town, and this program dealt with the action of the unlearning of the habit. And that meant anything that was positive connecting with smoking, I had to get rid of that. That needed to be reversed. And at the same moment, I had to enhance anything negative connected with the smoking. So at the close of every meeting, we had to smoke one of our brand of cigarettes with anti-fingernail biting solution all over the filter, so you can imagine what it tastes like. Holding the cigarette between your pinky and ring finger. Now, you smokers know you don't smoke that way. All the time watching video of cancer-filled lungs. The final day of the course, we had to do all of that, but we could not ever take the cigarette out of our mouth. We smoked the entire cigarette. Now, I'm telling you what, if we didn't get lung cancer in that room, about 30 of us in there, you couldn't see in there with so much smoke. But there was real method in that madness. We had to change everything that would have been positive, that would drive us to smoking. Now, you can replace smoking with anything. It can be a pornography addiction. It can be alcohol. It can be anything. It can be talking ugly to your wife. It can be treating others poorly. Whatever the thing is, or maybe more than one thing, that is keeping you from growing in Christ, you got to deal with it. I even had to change my drive in because there was a certain point that I would always light up. So I changed my... You have to change everything about you if you want to give up something that's not good for you. And maybe you have some bad habits that keep you from allowing God to grow you into the plans He has for you. There is nothing that you face, and I say this with all honesty, that is as hard as it was for me to quit smoking cigarettes. Nothing you'll ever face, I don't think, will be as hard as what I had to do. Believe me. Now, I know you think I forgot about the second list. Here's what I want you to do on the second list. It needs to be things that you want to start doing. This is all positive. Maybe it's to be more faithful in reading God's Word. Listen, I understand feasting on the Word of God changes your heart. And if your heart is changed, guess what? Your behavior is changed. Your thinking is changed. So maybe it's to be more faithful in reading God's Word. Maybe it's to be more faithful in your prayer life. Maybe it's to be more vocal with your faith to others. Maybe it's to open yourselves up to other Christians. Maybe it's to be more forgiving of those who hurt or disappoint you. Whatever it takes for you to be open to grow in Christ, do it. Whatever it is. I don't pretend that you struggle with the same things that I do. But there's something that the enemy lures you with, maybe several things, that keep you from desiring to grow in the things of God. You see, when you let things go that short-circuits the growth plan that God has for you, and you enhance and encourage the things that promote the growth plan God has for you, you'll be surprised at the amount of growth you'll experience. You will grow by leaps and bounds. All for the glory of God. You can see yourself backing up to the door facing, and you got a spiritual level right here. You do these things, your spiritual level is going to grow. And you're going to make, it's going to be so important that you will even document it. You will grow by leaps and bounds when we start getting rid of the things that the enemy uses to keep us from growing in Christ. See, we are not to stay on puppy chow. We just aren't. It's warm and fuzzy. Puppy chow is easy to swallow. I don't know if it's any cheaper. I like to think it's a little bit cheaper, and that's why I want to stay with it a little bit longer. But now there comes a time that you had better start eating the adult stuff. Your body needs it. Your spiritual body needs it. And I don't think that you want to go to the door facing that God marks your spiritual growth on and see that you are not growing at all. See, He didn't create you to stay where you are. He created you to become more and more and more like Him. We'll never become more like Him unless we have this drive in us to grow. To grow in the things of God. Now, some of you were very good students in high school and college. I wasn't. I just barely made it. And so for me to want to push in those areas, it seems to go against my nature. Some of you don't struggle with this at all. You just devour God's Word, and it grows in you, and you become strong. And you look back, and you have grown this much just in 6 months. But everybody's not like that. It takes work, but the biggest work is to welcome the growth. Amen. The biggest work is to be on the potter's wheel and have someone tell lies about you, and you stay right there and you let God continue to work on you. The bigger work is when everything goes wrong and you don't change your desires. You still desire to grow in the things of God. The bigger work is that we see ourselves and we want to see ourselves become everything that God has for us. That's the bigger work. But it's many times the harder work. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, Lord, the Lord, walk in union with Him, reflecting His character in the things that you do and say, living lives that lead others away from sin, having been deeply rooted in Him, grown in Him, and now being continually built up in Him and becoming increasingly more established in your faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing in it with gratitude. So many times we think we just got to make these major changes in our life for us to get on the right track. Listen to Jesus' words in Matthew 13, 31 and 32. He told them, as Jesus told the disciples another parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch on its branches. See, when you allow the Lord to plant in you and to grow you, even the smallest thing can end up being huge. And it will not only benefit you, it'll benefit others that are around you. See, you are God's masterpiece. You are a work in progress. You are created in Jesus. You are created to do good works. And you're created to grow. God did not save you just to leave you right there. If that were the case, He would take you home right then. But He leaves you right here. And He wants you to not push back on the pressure on the potter's wheel. When things are going wrong, you say, "Where are you, God?" His hands are right there. "Have you forgotten me, God?" "No, my hands are right there." "I bet you like somebody else better than you do me." "No, my hands are right there." And the loving hands of the Father should bring you such security that nothing that anyone or the world or the culture can throw at you can rob you of this. But if you're still chowing on puppy chow, you might be able to be convinced otherwise. But if you make the efforts and stir yourself up to want to get better, not better to God, but better in His kingdom, better in your growth, you'll find that He'll brag on you a bit, and he'll show you the door facing. He said, I want you to see that just 6 months ago, this thing that just happened to you would have sent you reeling. But right now, because you've allowed me to form and fashion you, because you've allowed me to do that, it was barely a blip. By the time Joseph was restored and reunited with all his brothers, he still remembers some of that mess he went through. But the bigger thing is, what the devil meant for harm, Jesus means for life. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. That's why we need to grow. He knows that if you don't grow, the enemy can snatch you and lure you. Now that may be a theological conundrum for you, because the word says that he can't snatch us out of your hands. But when we make a decision, the enemy jumps on that and says, yeah, this is the better way. It won't hurt when I form and fashion you. It's all going to be easy, which is not true, but that's what he says. But we are this lump of clay. I want you to think about a potter for a moment. Taking one or two classes of that in my high school years, and the teacher would take this lump of clay that didn't look like it ever would become anything, and violently she would throw it onto the wheel. And then she'd start working. Sometimes it was just her hands. Other times she brought out a sharp object. And it just depends on what she wanted to create, how much pressure and how pinpointed her tools would be. Because you must understand, she knew what it was going to become before she threw it on the wheel. But so often, we find ourselves on the wheel and it's just not fun. There's somebody poking at us, and there's a sharp object being used, and it's spinning a little too fast. All those kinds of things go in your mind, but God is right there. If you have asked Jesus into your life, into your heart, and made him your Lord and Savior, he plops you on the wheel. And it may be startling, but his loving hands begin to come. Sometime, as in the case with Brian Thomas, he had to use something sharp. And it hurt. But I trust him. And I trust that he knows what he wants to make me. And I may not be able to see that, but I trust him. And that's what's so important, that you trust Jesus with everything. That, yeah, life may be rough right now, but he's forming and fashioning you to be something glorious. And I don't know if we get all that glorious stuff here, or we get the final glory stuff in heaven. Whatever it is, heaven's got to be better than what we get here. But as long as he leaves us here, he is going to continually form and fashion us. And us human natures will push back against it. But the next time you start pushing back against the potter, I want you to think, well, it's time for get off the baby food. It's time to get off the puppy chow. I need something else from God to become what he asked me to be. See, he knows what you are created for before you're in your mother's womb. He has a plan. He knows what the end product's going to look like. It's better than anything you would ever think on your own. So why wouldn't we say, okay, Lord, mold us and make us and fashion us after your will? Why wouldn't we just give him full access to do it? Well, the enemy is there. And he's trying to convince us that God doesn't have our best interest at heart. But that's when we need to rebuke the enemy. No. I know what God says. He's a strong tower. I know that he's my caretaker. I know that he is the potter. I know that he has good things in store for his children. But also know he uses everything that I go through If I will yield my life to Him, He'll use everything to become part of that process of what God has for you all along. You going to be a Joseph or a Jonah? It's just that simple. We're going to trust God throughout the mess and glorify Him in every situation, or we're going to tuck tail and run. Jonah had to learn a hard lesson. I've had to learn a hard lesson once or twice. Squared. Maybe you have too. But I want you to hear loud and clear today, God's not through with you. No matter what you're facing right now, He's not through with you. As long as you're on this side of heaven, He is molding and fashioning you. And our human nature gets in the way sometime, and He pulls that hard part out, throws it out of the lump of clay. That hurts. He'll put a knife to you if there's some things that have to be removed. But practically speaking, you got to make your to list. You got to pay attention to what God puts His finger on, that He wants you to work on. What you work on might be different than me. What I worked on, you might not struggle at all. But I know human nature. We all struggle. We do. But God, the master builder, is there to form and fashion us. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.